From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, the presidential office issues a stern warning to presidential committee vice chairman over his remarks on a high school baseball team's May 18 related chant. The government unveils plans for a low-Earth orbit satellite network by 2035 and aims for the country's first lunar landing by 2030. And President Lee Jae-myung reviews progress on a semiconductor cluster project in the Jeolla region next week. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Daniel Choi. The presidential office has issued a stern warning to the vice chairman of a presidential committee after he criticized the punishment imposed on a high school baseball team over players' chants that appeared to mock the May 18 pro-democracy uprising. In a press notice Saturday, Chief Presidential Spokesperson Kang Yoo-jung said Presidential Committee on Regulatory Rationalization Vice Chairman Lee Byung-tae's posting of such criticism on social media was an inappropriate conduct as a public official. Kang said there is possibility of misunderstanding as these comments counter the administration's firm rejection of hatred and ridicule. During a Cheongnyong-gi National High School Baseball Championship match against Gwangju Jail High School Monday, several Baejae High School players shouted, "Let's go to Starbucks" and "Tank Day" in reference to a controversial promotion by Starbucks Korea on May 18th. The Baejae High School team has since been barred from competing in national-level matches for 6 months. On Thursday, he posted online that May 18 Gwangju uprising has become off-limits and said the chanting could be understood as satire of the Starbucks controversy and that punishing the team would be denying the players' basic right. The government has announced plans to establish a low-Earth orbit satellite communications network composed of hundreds of satellites by 2035 and push forward the country's first lunar landing to 2030. The envisioned plans were announced Friday by Korea Aerospace Administration Chief Oh Tae-suk during a public briefing in Jinju, South Gyeongsang Province, on the development of cutting-edge industries in the southeastern Gyeongsang region. Oh said building the low-Earth orbit satellite communications network would be a key strategic infrastructure for protecting national security and communication sovereignty, as well as in supporting the 6G era. The agency intends to launch between 128 and 512 satellites by 2035 in a bid to complete the country's independent low-orbit satellite communications network. The government and the private sectors would jointly set up a special-purpose company to commercialize the information amassed from the satellites with a goal of generating sales of at least $1.7 billion by 2034. KASA will also expedite South Korea's first lunar landing by 2 years to 2030 via a privately developed small lunar lander loaded onto the Nuri rocket and seek launches of a lunar communications orbiter in 2029 and an Earth-Moon scientific exploration probe in 2031. President Lee Jae-myung will convene a meeting next week to review progress on one of the administration's envisioned mega projects to establish a semiconductor cluster in the country's southwestern Jeolla region. In a press notice released Friday, Chief Presidential Spokesperson Kang Yoo-jung said the joint government-civilian meeting will be held at Cheongwadae next Monday to ensure thorough preparations for the project's implementation. He pledged to personally oversee progress on the initiatives after unveiling the mega projects on Monday, aiming to promote more balanced regional development. The administration seeks to position South Korea to lead the global artificial intelligence industry amid its ongoing restructuring by building semiconductor fabrication plants, AI data centers, and other strategic high-tech industries in the Jeolla, Chungcheong, and Gyeongsang regions. Top executives from Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix, which have pledged large-scale investments in the mega projects, are also expected to attend.
You are now listening to the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul, Korea.
The main opposition People Power Party has accused the ruling Democratic Party of declaring to turn the National Assembly into a yes-man legislature after its acting chief and floor leader suggested reorganizing the parliament's existing filibuster and fast-track systems. In a statement on Saturday, Chief PPP spokesperson Park Sung-hoon said, the ruling side is no longer hiding its true colors regarding a resolve to turn the assembly from a place of dialogue and compromise into a legislation factory that operates to protect the ruling camp. Park said DP acting chief and floor leader Han Byung-do's pledge to amend the two systems for enhanced productivity is a declaration that the DP will strip the opposition of the minimal right to speak via filibuster and shorten the fast-track process to accelerate legislation. The spokesperson said such moves are part of an attempt to push forward with a bill aimed at canceling indictments against President Lee Jae-myung and another to amend the Criminal Procedure Act to abolish the prosecution's authority over supplementary investigations. Park accused the DP of neglecting legislation for the people while seeking to take unilateral control by omitting debate and removing voice from the opposition. The government has completed accepting applications for state payouts to mitigate public damage amid soaring global oil prices stemming from the Iran war, with 98% of those eligible applying. The Interior Ministry said 35.4 million out of 39.28 million people that met the requirement for eligibility had applied as of 6 p.m. Friday, and the total payout amounts to 6.11 trillion won, or nearly $4 billion U.S. dollars. The largest number of 23.52 million people received the payments on their credit or debit cards, followed by 5.95 million via mobile or card-type regional gift certificates, and 5.28 million on prepaid cards. The highest application rate of 98.99% was reported in South Chola Province, then 98.94% in North Chola Province, and 98.91% in South Gyeongsang Province, while Seoul had the lowest 96.46%. The payout must be spent by August 31st. North Korea's ruling Workers' Party mouthpiece Nodong Shinmun has called on senior officials to break away from formality and thoroughly prepare for disaster prevention ahead of this year's monsoon season. In an article published on Saturday, the paper said the outcome of disaster prevention initiatives are dependent on senior officials' sense of responsibility and commitment to their roles. The paper urged the officials to seek substantial measures to prevent casualties that stem from their irresponsibility, inattentiveness, and incompetency, and to avoid formality in their prevention efforts. In a separate article, the paper reported on a forecast for a nationwide rainfall, including downpours in some areas starting between Sunday and Tuesday until Friday due to a monsoon front and a low-pressure trough. It also expects some direct and indirect impact from this year's ninth typhoon, Bavi, next week. The government has removed mandatory liver function screening for blood donors for the first time in 36 years as part of efforts to prevent waste of blood and to address the nation's chronic blood supply shortages. According to the Ministry of Health and Welfare Saturday, a related enforcement regulation change under the Blood Management Act came into force on Wednesday in consideration of the reduced utility of the liver function screening amid advancement in nucleic acid tests. The liver function test has been conducted to detect hepatitis B and C viruses in the blood, which until now was difficult to determine directly until the introduction of the nucleic acid test that copies the genetic information of the viruses. According to data from the National Assembly, around 200 million cubic centimeters of blood were discarded in the country over the past 5 years, of which 190,000 units of donated blood were thrown out for failing to meet the liver function test standard. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This has been Daniel Choi.